Welcome to the Laugh Track podcast. I'd be your host, Matt Smith, and joining me today is Tony Martin, author of A Nest of Occasionals, host of A Quiet Word, editor of The Scrivener's Fancy. He tweets under the handle of @TonyMartin, and he's the director of the 94th highest grossing Australian film of all time. Thank you for joining me, Tony.
Hello, testing.
Hello, testing, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Testing, hello. You're listening to Triple M. Coming up next, the classic double shot Tuesday triple play. Can't remember all that terminology.
The Quiet Word, they were very good. I had a good laugh when I was watching them on the weekend. What I did notice about the episodes is that you've kept the exact same format, but I imagine since you've got another 10 coming and you've got a regular time slot.
The second one, Rhys Darby, was shot way back last year. In fact, it was shot before the Carrie Fisher one. We've been sitting on that for about 7 months. But, yeah, no, we haven't changed it because the idea was to do six of them over a year because, you know, the idea behind the show is that rather than just do a chat show where you just interview whoever's coming through town and often have to pretend that you're a fan of someone, my idea was, well, look, I'll only do one when there's someone who I am a fan of coming through town, and so, you know, surely we'll get six over the course of a year. So we shot three of the six, and they put Bill Bailey and Carrie Fisher to air in Artscape, and, yeah, the ratings were so high. I think they were actually the highest ratings they've ever had in Artscape, that they went, hang on, maybe this could be a series, and they gave me a second series. So we have six new ones, and then the four remaining on the first series making 10 new ones. And I think they're going to run the two from last year at the end, repeat them, so it'll be on for 12 weeks. But I said to them, OK, so when are you moving it to? And they go, right, well, we thought Saturday night at 9:30. And I've gone, well, that's kind of when Parkinson's on. You know, I said, I'm not going to be changing the show. I'm not going to be asking people to pull out their baby photos or anything. I'm still going to be talking about the nuts and bolts of comedy, which is, you know, kind of something you can do in Artscape. If you're talking to a painter in Artscape, you talk to them about their paintbrushes. Mm. And they went, no, keep it exactly the same. And then I said, well, the problem with doing a series, you know, because we've got nine more to film, I said, we're just not going to get nine people coming through town in the next couple of months who I'll be a massive fan of. There were a couple. We got Lily Tomlin and Simon Pegg, so that was good timing. I said, look, we're really going to have to go overseas. So we went to England we were only shooting for 3 days, and we got five episodes done over there. So that was, you know, we were able to get a total of 10 people that I didn't have to pretend to like.
So you actually went to them, so that's where your extra budget's gone this time around, has it?
That's right. We got a tiny amount more money for plane fares and hotels for 3 days we went to England, but it's on no bigger scale. We've still only used three cameras, and one of them is unmanned, and we shoot it in a bar. We can't even afford a set. We can't even afford photographs, let alone clips of anything, but that's good. So that makes you go, all right, let's just commit to the idea that it's just going to be two people talking for 26 minutes.
It struck me that that might be the case, because I remember in the first episode with Bill Bailey, you were holding things up to the camera for a close-up.
Well, that's it. I am one of these mad people that keeps every flyer and program. And that turned out to be great. There's one episode coming up with Catherine Tate, and about a week before we went to England, I was going through that box, and I found a flyer for a show called Lee Max Bits, which was a Lee Max show that I'd seen in Edinburgh in 1999. In tiny letters, it said, with Catherine Tate.
Okay.
I went, oh, and I realised I'd actually seen her. I wouldn't have known who she was in 99, and so I was able to pull that out at the beginning of that interview, and that, I think, made that interview or that episode go really well, because she sort of realised I wasn't just going to be reading everything back to her from Wikipedia.
Wait, let me cross out the Wikipedia questions here I've got for you.
Well, my Wikipedia page is mostly lies, and unfortunately, I think that's my fault, because we used to encourage Wikipedia vandalism on Get This, and it's still going on.
Now, we'll get back to that, but I did want to know, have you thought about, because it occurs to me this show would go great as a live show during the comedy festival, and you've got all these guests here.
I don't know. I mean, I've got enough on my hands just doing this, but
true.
I mean, that one of the great things about it not having an audience is that the guests don't feel they have to entertain, you know, they can just go off on wild tangents. And we film for about 50 minutes and we cut it down to 26. So there's, you know, long pauses while people reconsider what they were going to say. And a lot of my questions are quite, you know, I'm not the world's best interviewer. So, a lot of my questions go down a dead end and we cut all that out and tidy it all up in the edit. People are a lot more candid because it's not like they're on Rove where there's 400 people sitting over to the right and you've got to keep the jokes coming to keep them laughing. We've done an episode with Ross Noble, for example, where everyone who's watched it goes, gee, I've never seen Ross talking so quietly and actually talking about what he does, because if he goes on Rove, people want him to, you know, leap about like a monkey.
Yes, yeah. I know you've name-dropped Simon Pegg is coming up in an episode.
Simon Pegg is episode 3.
Episode 3. We've got Alan Davies, first
Alan
cab
Davies,
off the rank.
It's Alan Davies is the first one. Yeah. Then it's Rhys Darby. Then it's Simon Pegg, and then it's Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin.
They're the first four, and I don't think they've actually quite decided the running order of the rest of them, but the names I can mention, we've done Catherine Tate.
Yes.
Rob Brydon. We did one with him in England, and Ross Noble.
That's all the names that I've managed to Google out of it, yeah.
Yeah, they're the only ones. I think they want me to keep a couple of them.
You've got another three more, so if you want to blow a, blow a
well,
secret.
We haven't actually, there's one we haven't even filmed yet, so I can't, no, they don't want me to say it yet.
Okay.
There's, you know, what pathetic amount of, you know, mystery and sizzle we can dangle for this show. Wow, will it be two people sitting in a chair? Yes, it will be.
Well, if it helps, Simon Pegg, I didn't know. I didn't find that one. So I remember during your days of Get This, you were proud of the fact that you didn't have a mobile phone and you had dial-up internet only.
And now... Well, I've moved on to the broadband because I'm on Twitter now.
You're on Twitter and you've got a very successful blog, The Scrivener's Fancy. What changed?
Well, I'd always been right into the internet, and but I've never had. I don't have a mobile phone. I still don't. I mean, I spend about 3 hours a day answering emails. I go, Jesus, if I had a phone. Every time I see someone in a movie with a phone, they're really angry with it and throwing it at the ground. They're driving somewhere and someone's calling them. I don't want that. I'm listening to albums when I'm in my car. I don't want people interrupting me. With The Scrivener's Fancy, that came about. I mean, we're coming up to our second year anniversary of that. That basically started because a major Australian newspaper asked me to write a column for them. And when I wrote it for them, they suddenly decided they didn't want it anymore. And I went, no, oh, gee, I really enjoyed writing it, so I want to keep doing it. So I thought, but I don't want to have a blog, because the thing about a blog is, I read a lot of blogs, and they're not necessarily about great writing. They're about, you know, here's a clip, here's a link. But I don't want to be Tony Martin's blog, so I thought, I just want to be one of four columns. So, and then I discovered that the same paper that had rejected the column in the first place had actually regularly rejects fine writing. We have a visitors column, and a lot of those are things that have been commissioned for and then rejected by newspapers. By making it look like a rather pretentious newspaper, which it, you know, it isn't, and having no pictures at all, it sort of just makes it about writing. And, you know, some of them are slapdash, some of mine, depends how busy I am, but some of them I'll spend quite a long time actually trying to get the writing good. So, yeah, that's how that came about. And so then, because that was up there, I thought, well, how can I promote it? So then I started up this Twitter thing, and that's kind of... going well, and I'm one of these annoying people that bombards all my friends with links to clips and things I found, so...
I am looking forward to my weekly cat clip now, I must say.
Well, that's gone out of control. I just did that for a few weeks, and then I didn't do it, and people went, where's the clip? People got really angry it wasn't there, so now I'm...
It saves me searching YouTube. You're going to have to go out soon and commission cats to do things, so you realise that.
I'm actually writing a thing for the website, actually based on that very idea at the moment.
All right. I'll just write down that I came up with that first. That's fine.
Yeah. I haven't quite worked out the format for it, but I like the idea that in the future, television networks will just consist of YouTube clips being shown.
I don't know how much you can say about your upcoming television endeavours. You've got Judith Lucy's Spiritual Journey soon, and The Joy of Sets has been name-dropped.
Yeah, well, Judith Lucy's show is, I don't want to over, suggest I've got more to do with that than I have, because it's mainly a documentary series for the ABC, directed by a man called Brendan Fletcher, who's got a film in Sundance, that film called Mad Bastards. And he's done the bulk of it, and I've just shot... If you can imagine, the episode is half an hour. The idea is that 6 minutes of each of half hour will be sketches, and not sketches, but they're essentially reenactments of moments from Judith's life relating to her spiritual journey, such that it is. So I've had to reenact whole sequences from Judith's life with her playing herself at all ages, but with actors playing members of her family. And to be honest, they shot so much material for that show. They've got enough for two series. So I have a feeling a lot of my stuff is going to end up, hopefully, on the DVD. But I know that about half of what I shot, there's just no room for it in the show. It's just turned out so much better than anyone thought it would. I think it'll be a very big DVD. So that, I don't know when that's on, but we're still editing that. And then the other one you mentioned, The Joy of Sets, which, by the way, won't be called that. It's actually an idea of Andrew Denton and John Casimirs, who make The Gruen Transfer. They sort of thought I'd be good to host it, so I went and saw them and I said, well, look, if I'm going to do something like this, I really should do it with Ed Cavalier, because it was very similar to what we used to do on Get This. So I think it's quite a good meeting. I mean, I've never done someone else's idea like this before. When we watched the pilots back, we went, well, it was a very natural fit for me and Ed to be waffling on about television. Mm. It wasn't much of a stretch. But when we shot the pilots, it was called The TV Show. It was simply called The TV Show. But for some reason, nobody likes that. So when they put out the press release, they just put this name, The Joy of Set. Going, Jesus, just call it The Joy of Puns. It's not going to be called that. But we don't start working on that till the second half of the year. They've kind of, Channel 9 decided to put out a press release advertising all their upcoming shows at the end of last year. And when that came out, I'm going, well, hang on, we're not making this for another year. They're promoting the games, London Calling, which is John Clark's new series of games. That's, I don't think that even starts filming till March 2012. I talk about advanced publicity.
Yeah, but, very much on the sizzle, yeah.
It's a good bunch of shows to be in with.
If you were going to call it something, what's your preferred name then?
I quite like the straight batness of The TV Show, because it was...
Yeah, but see, that doesn't Google well. If people Google The TV Show...
I know. I have this trouble all the time. Me and Mick Molloy wanted to call one of our albums Reduced to Clear. No one would... Mushroom weren't coming at that. I said to Andrew, well, The Joy of Sets, people will be, you know, I'm going to have to spend the whole year denying that that's what it's called. And he goes, well, when we did Enough Rope, he goes, we put out a press release saying it was going to, and I remember this, it was saying it was going to be called An Evening Without Michael Crawford. And that was printed in the papers for about a year before it was on, and then it was only about a week before it started, they went, no, it's actually called Enough Rope. So I think we're going to be doing one of those. But, yeah, no, I don't start working on that for ages.
Well, something to look forward to then.
You know, I wrote a column about it on my website, but, you know, as soon as all that Ben Elton business happened, it was like the internet. It was this big fat guy that had eaten Warnie and had eaten the Ben Elton show and was then going... Right, what else have you got? Send in Tony Martin and Ed Cavalier. And I was reading tweets that were saying, Ben Elton lasted 3 weeks on Nine. How many weeks do you give Tony and Ed?
Yeah, I know,
yeah.
I haven't
even started working on it yet, and already people are taking bets as to how long it'll last.
I think it actually will. You've got quite a good following from Get This. It's like the show that's never died, that.
Well, it's funny because it was only on for 2 years, yeah. And now it's been off for 3 years. And yet, in a weird way, it's almost more popular now because all the podcasts are on iTunes. Get This was on in three different time slots, but all of them were between 9 and 4. So people who, you know, work normal hours and don't have the radio on never even knew what the show was. So people are still discovering it and are getting all the podcasts and listening to them from the beginning. So it's quite odd. I bump into people who live in a world where, you know, Galen is still in the Big Brother house and John Howard's still the Prime Minister. I did a interview on BBC Radio a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going, well, how the fuck do they know who I am? Why would they want to talk to me? And I called up these guys, and they're like, yeah, we're huge fans of Get This. Yeah, the podcasts are going round. So it was really weird talking to English DJs about Rex Hunt.
They do have an undying charm.
Me and Maddie would spend literally 2 hours a day editing the podcast. The first few, if you listen to them, that we didn't quite have a format. I didn't quite know what a podcast was. So it's not till about, you know, podcast number 7 or 8 before the 40-minute format that we devised kind of clicks in. And originally we were only doing one a week, and by the end we were doing 3 or 4 a week, and we'd be spending 2 hours a day editing and going, and we never had time for that. And sometimes I'd be going, why are we spending so much fucking time editing these podcasts? And then years later you go, thank God we did, because they're going around still. And I'm going, well, I'm glad we were able to tidy them up.
There's a big black market trade on the full shows. They're going around.
Well, that's frightening, because, you know, all the mistakes and stumbles and ill-thought-out ideas that went nowhere are now preserved for all time. On the other hand, there was my favourite bit of the show was when we would just fuck around out of the ad break in the first hour and talk over the front of the song and pretend we were playing the instruments. And that rubbish, you know, never ended up on any of the podcasts. I'm glad people can still enjoy those bits.
The first new episode of A Quiet Word is on the 2nd of April, and it's with Alan Davies on 9:30 on ABC One.
That's it.
And later on the iView player.
Yes.
And Tony Martin, thank you for your time today.
All right, thank you. Cheers.